Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, performance enhancement expert, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 48 countries, such as the U.S., India, Canada, France, Australia, Panama. So I want to thank you to those who are currently listening from wherever you are. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here, we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight the transformational moment that's changed our lives and how we use these to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. Now, you can listen to us every Wednesday and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also listen to us on a Tuesday or Thursday as we hold special pop-up episodes to highlight book launches, product launches, events. Somebody is doing something significant that we want to highlight, and so we highlight them in our special pop-up episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You can join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. Subscribe to the show, and I ask you that you rate and review on iTunes or on Stitcher, wherever you're comfortable listening. You can subscribe, and you can rate and review and tell us how we're doing and if we need to improve or if we're just doing a hot job. My guest today is one of the most impactful and amazing guests that I think I could have on this show. On the show, we have these guests that are impacting lives all around them, and this guy does it in a very significant way. So I want everyone to help me welcome to the show, Jeffrey Luddick. What is up, my friend?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing amazing, dude. So it is currently 5:32 p.m. Eastern time here in North Carolina, and there are tons of thunderstorms going on. So if we lose power, it is not because the show doesn't want to go on. It's because I lost power because there might be a tornado touchdown here. So I'm in North Carolina in the middle of a rainstorm, and it is beating the crap out of my house. So I'm hoping that the power doesn't go out because that would suck.
Bet it would.
So, dude, love the fact that we got to do this. You are doing some amazing things, and I cannot wait to dive in. So if you're ready, I am ready.
I'm ready when you're ready.
Perfect. So this episode is titled Leadership After Transition with Jeffrey Luddick, right? I'm saying it right.
Luddick. What, man, you call me Luddick. Whatever you want.
Okay, got it. Luddick. Hey, man. Way good. Luddick. Just want to make sure. So Jeffrey Luddick retired from the United States Army after 20 years. He served as a squadron sergeant major, operations sergeant major, first sergeant, platoon sergeant, and even a drill sergeant. He was a master-rated jump master, a pathfinder, and a graduate of the Battle Staff Non-Commissioned Officer Course. He has continued his service by assisting transitioning service members as an associate instructor for 4 Block and is the host of On the Other Side, Leadership After Transition, a podcast designed specifically to allow experienced veterans and those who truly want to assist veterans the ability to provide insight on the transition process. Jeffrey is an inspirational speaker, a member of the National Speakers Association, and owner of Change Your Forecast LLC, a leadership development organization focused on high school and collegiate athletes. He's married with 3 children, 2 girls and a boy, and he has another little girl on the way. Amazing. He's on LinkedIn, so you go to linkedin.com/the-in/Jeffrey-Luddick-podcaster. Just look up Jeffrey Luddick. He's all over the place. Facebook.com/transitioningveterans. So, dude, I'm reading this and I'm like, holy crap. It's an honor to have you on the show. Like, you just sound like a badass.
That's just sounds. Anybody sounds good if you put it on paper.
Oh, don't we know that when around promotion time comes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Not salty at all. Not salty at all. So, so dude, I got to ask you, man. So I guess we can do this in three ways. Like, what was your why for joining the Army?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for having me on here. I truly appreciate your time, and because I'm following you, right? So the fact that I'm on here is actually very rewarding to me. So thank you so much. My why for why I joined the Army is a little different than a lot. I didn't make it. I actually went to spring training with the Toronto Blue Jays back in 96 after I graduated high school, actually the summer of 97, spring of 97. And that's all I had. I mean, I wasn't good at anything. My life was not good. So the only option I had really, truly, after getting in trouble for about 4 months was to leave. And that was to join a branch. I chose the Army because they allowed me to jump out of airplanes. So I joined the Army.
Very cool. Very cool. So you did 20 years, you transition out, and now you have the podcast. So why did you start a podcast?
I was going through the transition program, the TAPS program down here. I was on an Air Force base in Florida, and I went to a five-day program. I was around a bunch of people, all different ranks, genders, MOSs or AFSEs, jobs, right? And it's a very general class. Provided a lot of good information, and obviously it's not expected to be a five-day and then never ever think about transition again. But the information just it wasn't fulfilling because I was talking to folks that had already transitioned. They were giving me good insight, and I was like, man, that should be in this program. So I decided, well, how can I get this there? Because of podcasts and the opportunity for us to have a voice, well, I created a podcast, and now I've since brought transitioned veterans on the show and people that are helping transition veterans to provide some guidance on that. I mean, it's a huge process. It's a huge change of scenery, if you will, and, you know, we need help. So I wanted to be part of that assistance.
How was that being on an Air Force base at the 20 years in the Army?
Hey, it's awesome. You know, I don't know if you know, you guys carry the trays at the chow hall. No, I'm playing. We, you know, in the Army, you had to carry your own trays. You go to the Air Force base and they have people that do it for you. You just leave it on the table. You know, it's nice.
Out of anything you could have said, you've been front of the chow hall.
That's great. That's great.
Out of anything you could have chosen,
that's where you get the pulse of the people, the soldiers, the airmen, the Marines. You know, you get them by being where they're at. You know.
Oh yeah, definitely, man, definitely. So what is your overall why for what you do? I mean, you do a lot of crazy, cool things, man. Very, very cool stuff. What is your overall why? Why do you wake up in the morning? Why do you do what you do?
Because I didn't do it by myself. I don't want. I would never tell somebody that I was the stellar performer before the Army. I would never tell someone I was the stellar performer while I was in the Army. I would tell people that throughout my life, throughout my career, I was only as good as the people around me, and whether that was the ones that were pulling me up because they're reaching out a hand to bring me to them, or the ones that were working for me that were actually pushing me up and saying, hey, you need to be up there. I understood that people need people. And because I was able to be successful was not based on me solely. And actually in large part, it was just, you know, I guess luck, just being around the people I was around and then, you know, just wanting to be more than what, I just don't want to be normal, right? So I wanted to always pursue things, and I allowed those people around me to be successful, and they helped me be successful. So why I do it now is because I want to give back, and I've always liked to see – you ever see the look in someone's eyes when they get it? No matter what it is, when they get it, that look is something that you can't put a dollar amount on. You can't – there's no judge of that. I mean, there's nothing that says that this is how much this is worth. So for me – I can't get enough of it. And I love when I see someone just get it. And that's why I do it. I want to see people be successful, and I want to be the help. I want to be the one that's helping them to get there.
Boom. Nailed it. So
hashtag boom.
Hashtag. We're throwing hashtags.
That's
so,
it.
Let's talk about your transformational moment. The show is based on, you know, transformational moments. You know, like Mothers Against Drunk Driving was formed because a drunk driver killed her daughter. Make-A-Wish Foundation was because Frank Shankiewicz met this young kid whose dream was to become a police officer, a motorcycle cop. And, you know, before the young boy passed, you know, they made it happen for him, right? They got him the uniform and all that. So what was your transformational moment that brought you to what you're doing today?
I would tell you it's probably a culmination of many moments, but I think that it really comes back to probably about 2005, around that time. I was a drill sergeant at the time. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the first time in my life. You know, you had a lot of authority and you can tell people what to do and they're going to do it because they have to. But that was probably the first time in my life that I truly saw it. I saw the value in me. I saw what I was able to do to these young men and women that were trying to make a difference in their life, because we all have stories. Every single one of us has a story. It's just a matter of who's telling it, because some people just don't know how to tell stories, right? So I'm watching these young men and women, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, they're relying on me to help them, right? And I wasn't too certain that I was cut out for that, but the Army had made me do it. And so I was like, okay. So while I was there, I just found some good mentors that helped me along the way to be a better leader, to be a better instructor, to be a better, you know, coach and mentor to these young men and women. And when I saw them have that look, that same look I was just explaining moments ago, that they got it. It stuck with me. It stuck with me from that moment on. And I'm telling you, I have not changed a bit since then. I mean, I wasn't the yeller. I wasn't always yelling. That was a role.
Sure.
But the idea of having someone accomplish some of the most minuscule tasks in life and have that be so rewarding to them, and understand I was there. So I understood those small tasks being huge accomplishments at that time. I'll tell you that there's nothing again that you could pay me to not want to have that feeling again. So to be honest, it happened around 05, and it's happened every day of my life since then. And I wake up specifically looking to change someone's forecast, if you will. What is the prediction of their life? What does society put on us as we go forward? Only you have the opportunity to control what that is. Although people like to tell you that you can't, or you shouldn't. Well, only you have that choice.
Right.
So if you learn can't enough, you won't. But if you learn that you can, or at least have someone put it in your mind that you can, well, you'd be surprised, right?
Oh yeah. No, definitely, man. I think that it's great to say that you didn't go through, like, that was your transformational moment that put you on the path, right? Like, sometimes, you know, we think that we have to have these truly remarkable spiritual awakenings, or I have to kill myself, or I have to go through a weird breakup, or like I died for 8 minutes, you know, like something. Like, we're always looking for these huge transformational moments. But I mean, something as simple as, I mean, when I was a drill instructor from 09 to 13, that's when I got into public speaking. I knew that. I was like, man, this is great. Like, this is amazing. And I wasn't really happy with my life, the way things were going, until I became like that drill instructor. And then I got into personal and professional development. Mm-hmm. And then you start getting to like, oh, who's John Maxwell? And like, who's Mark Sanborn? And who's, you know, Covey and all these other guys, you know, who's all these, you know, Think and Grow Rich guys, like, what is this? You know? And so you have these books and things that you're exposed to. That can be a transformational moment. Like, it doesn't have to be some life or death experience. I really want the listeners to get that. Like, your transformational moment doesn't have to be some huge over the top bus crash, just a spiritual awakening, just a you going, you know what, it's time to pull my head out. And you make a decision, and that's what you did. You made the decision, said, this is what I'm going to do, and it's awesome.
Yeah, love, you know, I just like to add, Sean, that you know, I don't want to, like I said, I don't think there was a specific moment, and it wasn't anything crazy or nothing, but I'll tell you, I was a confident, cocky young man, but my abilities is what I was not confident in. So I could. You know, we can go to the mall and I could pick up girls and I could play and I could throw a ball really good and I can do those things. That was all well and good. But in life, the people that who was going to follow me. In order to be a leader, you must have followers. It's a must, right? Otherwise you're not leading anything or anybody.
But the moment
where I got that aha moment, you know, where the why is because I actually built, I saw that I was good at it. Like my abilities were manifested right there. I saw that I could talk, I could inspire, I could show, and I could teach, and I could do those things where I'll tell you before that, you wouldn't have had that from me. I was always talkative, but what was I talking about and who was I talking to? But at that moment I realized, man, if I had the ability to talk to these folks or any people, I could truly inspire them to be better than what they think they can be, because I was better now than I thought I ever could be. And it was at that moment that I realized, man, I can do this. And that's pretty much the moment right there.
I love it. I love the way that you explain it. It's like, it almost gives me the hope that like, I can do that. Like mm-hmm. I can totally do that. Cause sometimes we just believe that like, oh, it's too much. You know, like I was just on a call the other day and they're like, oh, we can do this for you and we can do this for you. And you know, it always sounds too good to be true. Right. But I mean, this is like a legitimate place. Like if you know, some weirdo called me and was like, I can do this. You're like, yeah, whatever, dude. But we're like, unless somebody like Bloomberg, let's say Bloomberg or like CNN or somebody like calls you and says, we're going to make this happen. You're like, oh my God, this is a reputable company. Oh my God, I can probably make this happen. Like it starts to change a little bit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you start to be like, well, maybe I can. And then like, I didn't believe I could do a TED talk. You know, I'm like, oh my God. I really want to, but it's fun to dream about that $1 million until you actually win the lottery, you know?
Yeah.
And I got accepted as a TED talk. I was like, holy crap. This is going to be like a real thing. Like I dreamed about it, obsessed mm-hmm. about it. This is going to be a real thing. Holy crap. And then it becomes real. So that's just what reminded me. Like when you were talking about that, it's like you've given people hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've given people hope to say, hey man, you don't need to live this life. This is the way that you could do it. You know, change your forecast. Why high school and collegiate athletes, I wonder?
Man, so it's really simple to me. Through the team concept of the military, and plus, you go back to I was an athlete, you know, but you go back into the military, I believe the military is probably the biggest team that exists, and team building is probably more difficult in team building in the military is more difficult than almost any other situation. And I said that because you don't get to choose who comes to your organization. You don't get to pick, like, it's not a first round draft choice. It's not, I mean, you have what you have. There's no cutting this guy, or you accept it and you're there for 2-3 years before you move on to the next thing. So you're forced to find out what the strengths and the weaknesses of are your people, right? So in the high school and collegiate level for athletes, and it's not just athletes, it's coaches to teach the athletes, right? It's, they have the world ahead of them. And I can correlate a lot of sport to life. And I actually am writing books that actually do that. Right.
Cool.
But the idea is if you can take these young kids and maybe they're going to be professional athletes and maybe they're not. The fact is the percentage of those guys that actually make it to the professional level is very, very small. What are they going to do with the rest of their lives? And, you know, sometimes that defeat or that loss of that dream, you know, you want to become a professional athlete. And at some point when you lose it, when it doesn't become a reality, where do you go from there? And some people spiral out of control and they choose different paths. And really what I want to do is just talk to them about what they can accomplish and where they can be. And I think at a mm-hmm. younger age, they're a little bit more influential and from, because they're still developing. And I think that a lot mm-hmm. of folks, a lot of kids, high school and collegiate level kids, sometimes they miss that a positive role model in their life. And although coaches are good, sometimes they're concerned about, you know, Division I championships and things like that. I kind of want to be that man that gives them, you know, the ground truth and lets them see what is really like, what is within them that they can accomplish. And I want to bring that out of them and kind of create a roadmap to success for them at a very young age where they can do it themselves and be accountable to their own actions, as opposed to placing the blame and or giving the credit to people that aren't them, that we have our own ability to do our own things. And that's where I want to be with that, you know, straight high school and collegiate level athletes. Yep.
That's huge, man. Love it. Love it. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, if anything you've heard so far resonates with you, you can give us a call. This is a live show, 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. You can call in, talk to the guest, talk to the host, and yeah, man, let us know what you think. My team is standing by to weed out any of the trolls. We've had that happen in the past. So we're very careful. We're very careful. Yeah, so moving on. So, dude, so what was your job in the Army for the last, yeah, you know, for however long, well, 20 years? You know, what was your job?
It's funny you'd say that. So I came in as a radio operator, and obviously okay, radios at a point kind of became obsolete. I mean, with transfer, obviously technological advances have come a long way. So, you know, over IP, all and networks and computers and all different things with that, all that stuff kind of came around. So my sure job, I think I did my actually radios for the first maybe three years of my 20-year career. And then after that, I was a leader of people. And that's what I tell people, because okay, I never touched a radio again. I never touched a piece of a communications equipment. I constantly was, you know, whether I was the senior NCO at whatever level was, I was at a leadership level. And my job was pretty much to employ people, to deploy people, to just, you know, find the strengths and weaknesses of teams and strengthen them and then put them out into places where they could be successful. So, you know, I got an opportunity to do that a lot. I also, I jumped out of airplanes, man. I loved it. I talk, you know, being a master rated jump master. I think, you know, one of my most favorite things of my career was airborne operations, you know, getting, not just jumping out of a plane. That's, you know, you could go down to any skydiving place and do that. But, you know, right, you know, as well as I do, within the military, there's a fraternity, right? That's a fraternity, just being a veteran or being an Air Force. And then within each of those, there's your job and your career field. But the airborne community is even smaller, right? So, you know, we have airmen, we have Marines and sailors, as well as soldiers that are airborne qualified folks. And, you know, you get into the airborne operations and it's a whole presentation. It's long, it's drawn out, but it's really a great time. There's a lot of camaraderie in there, and just the operation, the skills that they possess. If you watch Jump Masters, you know, they're very, very, just oriented on specific tasks, making sure that this is specifically working and not broke, because we want to make sure people are living. It's like they always say, it's never an okay exercise. An airborne operation is always real, because the fact that people can die on each operation is just that. It's real. So right, we get to interact with the Air Force, with the load masters. I mean, it's just a way for us to be in a group of our own, I guess. And for me, that was one of my most cherished times in the military, was every airborne operation. I actually finished on December 9th of 2014. I jumped up my 100th jump. So they, you know, they call that a wow, Centurion jump master, but it was my 100th jump, because on December 10th, I had my knee replaced. So, you know, I mean, it's not the best, but I never hurt myself jumping out of airplanes. I always hurt myself pretending I was still going to be a professional athlete by playing intramural sports, which, you know, never ended out good for me, ended up good for me.
Oh, perfect. Oh, perfect. Centurion jump. Got it. All right. Yeah. And I think it's just funny that you had surgery like the next day and it had nothing to do with the jumps.
No, like, well, I scheduled it that way. As a matter of fact, my birthday was November 21st and we were supposed to jump on the 20th, but the weather was bad, so they canceled the jump. So I called and pushed my surgery to the next. I looked at the schedule for our next jump. I pushed it to the 10th, which was the next surgery, and our jump was on the 9th. So I didn't want to end at 99. I just didn't think that would be, I wouldn't want to say,
right,
all I had to do was one more jump. You know what I mean? So,
right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I get it. So I want to talk about what you do now. Like, what is it? So you're out of the military. How long have you been out? When did you retire?
So I retired April 28th of last year, down here in Tampa, okay, Florida at Steinbrenner Field. So I've been out for about a year. You know, and I've just been doing stuff, you know, stuff that constantly has me moving in the direction. Yeah, stuff.
I love it. He's like, I just been doing stuff.
Well, you know, you ask my wife and she's like, what are you doing? Like, so I seldom, and I come home. I mean, I do come home, but I wanted to get out there. I you know, networking was a big deal to me as I wanted to get out there to be a professional speaker. It was a big deal. So I wanted to get out and learn and meet people, but I was networking wrong. I was just shaking hands and, you know, taking a card. I was given a card and all that stuff. And I was learning networking because it was miserable initially, because what's a card? You know, I mean, actually having some type of, right. of a physical connection, which is nice to have a card, but what's the follow up and who is it that you're really meeting, yep. and why are you meeting them? And you know, so as sure. I was doing a networking thing, it was getting frustrating, but I learned how to network, and that's what I've really been doing. I mean, I stay with my podcast. I still do that. And we can talk about that whenever you'd like, but
yeah.
do the podcast. I got the Change Your Forecast that I'm working on that. And that's building, you know, slowly but surely, but I'm doing that. And, you know, I got a job, you know, in the meantime, because as you don't have an income, you know, you need to have something that'll allow you to do those other things. You know, some people will yep. eat ramen noodles and sleep on other people's couches and stuff, which, you know, I find nothing wrong with that. But the idea for me is, well, I've like you said in my bio, I'm married. I have three kids right now. I have one on the way. My mother and my mother-in-law both live with me. So I'm the sole provider at the house. And, you know, so I have to have an income that can support the home, which I do. And then it affords me the flexibility and the time to go pursue my dreams of making other people's dreams a reality, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I get it, man. There's nothing wrong with that at all. You know, I firmly believe that, like, you know, I'm still serving. You know, I got 3 years to go in the military, you know, and I'm building my third business now. Mm-hmm. And in different areas of my life, you know, like in the beginning, you know, you're thrown to the wolves and you got about a couple of years to kind of, you know, prove yourself or whatever. But you get to a spot where you're pretty comfortable with what I'm doing. Like we're not working like a whole lot. I mean, like 12, 14 hours a day, you know, at the job that I took, you know, when I started my first business, it was more like, you know, 10 hours. It wasn't like, you know, 14 like before. And then when mm-hmm. I became a drill instructor, you know, I was off every Sunday. So on Sundays, I would go and do some things and started building another business. You know, like we were off on Sundays because it was time for the kids to, you know, go to church, you know. So and now I'm in a position where, you know, I've got 3 years to go. You know, you're higher in rank, so you don't really have to, you know, you're not really there for those 14 hours, you know, like everybody else is. So it just made sense, you know, and I think that it speaks to you as a person that you're not just like you realize it's a necessary evil, but it's just a necessary evil because of what you're creating and what mm-hmm. you want the most means more than just a 9-to-5. Like you don't want a 9-to-5. It's just, I want this so bad that instead of, mm-hmm. you know, sleeping on a friend's couch and eating ramen, I'm going to get a 9-to-5 job that I absolutely would freaking hate, but it's going to pay mm-hmm. for my dreams. Love it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and you know, I got to tell you. Well, one, I got to tell you, I'm really, I don't want to say proud of you because I'm nobody to be proud of you. You know what I mean? It's, you don't need me to be proud, but I look at you and I see the things you've accomplished. You know, we spoke on one night. I asked if I could call you. You said yeah. I mean, we met based on a Facebook thing, which was great, and we talked and just listening to. It just listened, and this was back I think November time frame, October. Just listening to you talk about the things you're doing. And the amount of, I mean, you obviously understand time management, which a lot of veterans and folks do, and you're taking advantage of that. And I think it's an amazing thing because a lot of people that are getting out, that are starting their business now, are about 3 years behind you, right? And you're doing things well before you get out. So you're situated and I think it's great. I think it's awesome that you're doing that. For me, that's the thing is I got a job and I enjoy it. It's nice. I'm around people that I truly like. I mean, I've known them, a lot of them, for some years, so it's good. But at the end of the day, if I had to know that this was what I was going to do for the next 15 years of my life, I'd probably be upset with my life. And because it's just not me. I mean, it's a means to support my family, in which that I owe them, right? I didn't get out of the Army to struggle. I got out of the Army because we made it to the pinnacle. I was where I wanted to be, and I wanted to move on so I could influence more people, but I didn't want to put them in a poorhouse. So, you know, I owe it to them to do that, right? Which is important. So I do. But every day I go in, whether I like what I'm doing that day or hate it, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, I know I'm getting off work. I'm going to a networking event. I'm going to meet some folks. I've linked up with people on LinkedIn. I've used social media in a manner that has put me in positions to actually find the people that can help me succeed, find the people that I can help succeed. And all those things that I've done over the past about 6 months has given me a lot of inspiration to go to my job every day, because I know that it's not a permanent solution. I mean, it's temporary. And whatever that temporary time is, whether it's 12, 24, 36 months, okay. I did 20 years in the Army. I can do 36 months. And meanwhile, I'm making my dream a reality. And that's important right. to me. I have a quote. I'd like to say it real quick. So
sure, I don't know yeah, if it's, man, absolutely.
I don't know if it's my quote, but I made it up and I've never seen it anywhere else. So I guess it's mine, right? But I tell people all the time, dreams only happen quickly when you're sleeping. To make dreams a reality, it takes time, dedication, and motivation, right? So, and hard work. So you dreams, if you watch or you look at the scientific thing, right, they say 8 to 12 seconds is a normal dream. I don't know how they figure that out, but that's what they say. Well, a lot of folks think in life you should have a dream and then all of a sudden one day just achieve it, right? Because you woke up and right. here you are. Well, in real life, you have to put some hard work and dedication into it. But time is the thing that you need the most. So as I'm taking that time to do it, I'm doing it in the right manner. So when it does become what I want it to be, it's going to be filled with character and those values that I cherish. So I'm excited yep. about the future. That's about it, man.
Awesome, man. Dude, I love it. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I firmly believe that everybody has a purpose. Everybody has transformations that happen because it puts them on the path to what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to go through the hard stuff. You have to go through the transformation. You have to go through the process so that you can fully step into what you're supposed to be doing, what you were created to do. So let's talk about the podcast. Where can we find it? What is it? What's it about? Talk to us about the podcast.
So the podcast is On the Other Side, Leadership After Transition. You can find it on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Play. I mean, you can go to pretty much, I don't want to say any podcast player, because it's not every podcast player, but those ones that I mentioned, along with a few others, they're out there. On the Other Side, Leadership After Transition. It's about transitioning service members. When I was going through the transition process, I really found that there was something missing. And as I was having conversations, I just found that information that my mentors that had retired years before ETS or got out and did whatever they did, those folks that were telling me how to be successful on the outside were giving me so much good information, but I wasn't hearing it in a 5-day program. And I was like, you know, who needs this information? Like, I knew I was going to be an entrepreneur, so I knew I didn't have to worry about my resume, right? That's something that they spent 3 days on during the transition process that I was like, well, that's 3 days wasted for me. However, by the way, I did do a resume eventually. But anyway, so I wanted somebody to provide that voice for transitioning service members. I wanted them to have that E4 or E5 that got out, that didn't have a master's degree or a bachelor's degree, that he didn't have an IT background. He may have had a logistical background. What did he do and where is he at now? And how is he getting to where he's going? And maybe he doesn't have a successful story. Maybe he's down on his luck and he needs help. But that is reality. I didn't want the perfect story and the thing that makes the most sense. I wanted real life experience to be given, to give a little bit of reality to people, as well as some hope that there are people out there that are trying to help people. As a matter of fact, I had a guy on my show that eventually got a job based on being on my show, which was excellent. I mean, it was awesome. It wasn't the intended intended effect, but it's a great thing. It happened for him. But that's what I wanted, right? And throughout the year, I started that in January of last year, of 17. And going through the first year, I was kind of, you know, not really understanding the use of social media in this regard, trying to get the right guests, trying to do this. I was kind of asking people that I knew to be on the show. I had a former sergeant major of the Army on the show, which was great, Jack Tilley, and he was a great guest. I had some folks that were just very successful on the outside of the military that I knew, and they had great advice. But as I started to go throughout the year, I was saying, man, I need to bring people that have programs, that there are programs that exist. I want people to be on that are doing things for veterans as well. So I started looking at programs, and I've got linked up with about, man, I can't even tell you how many. I probably deal with about 35 to 40 different transitioning programs throughout, you know, the states, as well as other programs that are there for, you know, whether it be medical programs, exercise programs, just all kind of different things that are doing things to help the veteran community. And it's been spectacular. Again, unintended. I don't want to say consequence, because that's not something negative. It's something very positive, but a very unintended reaction to what I've been doing. So it's been outstanding.
Perfect. Freaking awesome, dude. I'm loving, like, I can feel your passion right now, man. You know what I mean? Like, for what you're doing.
I'm ready to go outside right now and do it. I mean, as I'm talking to you, I'm getting excited. Like, I'm like, man, what we're talking about? Let's go do it some more. I mean, I'm ready, man.
Let's go build a porch. So through all of this, who's been your biggest influencer?
Man, influences. It's so hard to tell you, but I'm going to tell you about a guest I had on my show who's influenced me since the moment I heard of him.
Sure.
And continued to look up. So I'm from Buffalo, New York originally, and I haven't been back in years. I mean, I visit maybe every couple years. I'll stop by and see family, but I stopped seeing friends a long time ago because a lot of my friends were doing the same things I was doing before I left, and I didn't want to kind of get caught up in the things that I was doing before I left. I was having a pretty promising career, so kind of just stuck around with family. Well, I can't remember the date, so I don't want to say it because it might be wrong, but I think about March sometime, I got a message on Instant Messenger Facebook, and it was from a friend of mine that I grew up with, but I hadn't talked to in years. He had joined the Army a couple years behind me, but we had lost touch after probably about 10 or 15 years. And he sends me a message and says, hey, I've been listening to your podcast, which, by the way, was awesome to me. But he says, there's a guy from Buffalo. He's riding his wheelchair 422 miles from Indiana to Buffalo, New York, based on the veteran suicide rate, you know, to bring awareness to the suicide rate of 22 soldiers a day or 22 veterans a day,
right,
killing themselves. And I was like, wow. He said, I really think you should reach out to him, and then you should do it. You should have him on your show. He could talk to you about a lot of pretty cool things, and you could just kind of understand his story of what he's going through. And I said, all right. So I instantly went on Messenger, or I went on Facebook, looked at his story, went through it, and I said, wow, this guy it's inspirational just in itself. I mean, just the story, right? So I hit him up on Facebook Messenger. I said, hey, I'm so and so, and just really would like to have an opportunity to talk to you. Well, he replied to me. He was actually riding his wheelchair at the time, which was pretty cool. So he replied to me pretty much instantly, right? And said, hey, I'd love to have a conversation. So we started talking back and forth over the next few days in regards to a good time to do an interview. And I said, you know what? When do you arrive in Buffalo? And he told me, and I said, well, what's the plan? So he's part of a group called Songwriting with Soldiers. If you have never heard of that organization, Sean, I'm telling you, look it up.
No.
It's a bunch of professional musicians, whether they're huge names or not. Mary Gaucher, who's a folk singer, she's actually about to win an award for the best album of the year. But there's a group of folks that go in there, go on a retreat with these veterans. They write songs with them. Some of the veterans sing, some of the veterans play instruments, or whatever the case would be, because they're trying to heal PTSD and things through music. And I'm going to tell you, you got to look it up. I can't stress that enough. Amazing, okay. Amazing program. But anyway, so I said, hey, how about I drive up to Buffalo? You're going to get there in a couple of days. I'll leave Tampa, Florida now, and I'll drive up. And when you arrive on the wheelchair to the place that you're in, and I'll be there. I'll put it on Facebook. I'll interview you, and we'll go from there. So he said, yeah. So I did. So I drove. I got in my car. My wife was like, are you nuts? I was like, listen, he's getting in Buffalo in a couple of days. I'm going to go. You know, I mean, this is a huge story. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, I'm not part of, you know, excuse me, at that time, I wasn't part of the movement to bring awareness to veteran suicide, but
right.
I was inspired to bring his message just out, right? So I drive up there, do the interview, also listen to the song that they made. He plays the harmonica. Man, excuse me, I apologize to cough from the microphone. My throat just got dry. But anyway, amazing story, amazing man. I mean, there's so many people that can relate to what he was feeling, that what he was going through. And even right. to now, when I say influence, I watch everything he does. He's been at the Grand Ole Opry with Mary Gauthier's performing live, doing different things. And, you know, I looked at him and his wife and his two kids when I was there. I met him, you know, and it, just a great family to see him being successful now. I mean, just happy, you know, it's just a great feeling.
I love it. And what was the guy's name?
His name was Joshua Gertz. So it's G-E-A-R-T-Z or G-A-E-R-T-Z. I can never – it's spelled weird, but he's a great guy. I mean, him and his brother. I mean, I just – I'm telling you, I'll have to give you his name. I mean, it's Joshua. And I just got to look to see if it's – if how do you spell Gertz? And I think it's G-E-A-R.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, it's Josh, G-E-A-R-T-Z.
Right. And the and it's called Songwriting with –
Yep, with soldiers. Songwriting with soldiers.
Songwriting with soldiers. Okay.
Amazing.
I'll get all this so I can put it in the notes. Cool, man. So that's a definite influencer.
it's funny because you had made mention, right, about the aha moment or what was that transformational moment. And,
right.
you know, we all, right, I believe some of us, well, I don't believe some, we all have issues that we're going through at a moment. And
oh, yeah.
we don't always take a look at what other people are going through. And sometimes we feel like our moment is, you know, the most horrendous and it's understandable. You know, it's because your emotions are into it. And a lot of times you look at other people, you're not emotionally invested in them. So when you're going through it, obviously emotions are pretty strong for yourself. But when you look mm-hmm. at someone like him and his family, what they went through, it just, to me, it just brings me back to reality. Like, hey, there's people that need help, and I want to be there to help them.
I love it, man. So we have influences yeah. in our life. I would ask you, who's been your biggest supporter?
Whew. Biggest supporter. You know, my wife's very supportive, man. I mean, I got to tell you,
yeah.
my family, just in general, every I mean, you gotta meet me in real life. And I mean, I say that because when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And whether people
yeah.
agree, you know, people call people haters and do all this stuff. I mean, I don't care. I don't care about any of that stuff. That's noise to me. I believe in positivity. I surround myself with positive people. So to be 100% honest with you, I could tell you because I live at my home. So my family is definitely my biggest supporting group ever. They allow me to do the things I want to do because they see my vision and they trust in my vision. But more importantly, all the people outside, not that all the people outside are more important than my family, but I mean the people in which I surround myself with on a day-to-day basis and just throughout the partnerships that I've developed over the past, you know, 15 years, but more important the last year, those people are just as supportive because, well, they watched me kind of blossom in the military. They've watched me say that I'm going to do this and accomplish that. So I've earned some credibility with them and trust with them. So in turn, they've trusted in me and they, you know, pat me on the back and say, let's go. It's time to make moves. And they were right there with me.
Yeah. No, man, I firmly believe that, man. Definitely. And so I'm wondering if you had to pick a resource that, like transitioning veterans, we talk about this all the time where, you know, it's like, well, I don't want to get a job, but, you know, I kind of want to do a visit. We go back and forth on this all the time. So what do you think is probably one of the best resources or the resource that, like, if you're a transitioning veteran, this has to happen for you. Find this, do this, whatever it was. What is your advice to the transitioning veterans?
Man, I have so much advice for transitioning veterans, but you know, but your show's not that long. So, hey, what I would tell you, there's so many programs that exist that are out there. The problem with a lot of programs is you have to find them. You have to take some onus and some accountability on your own self and say, listen, I'm going to take as much care with my after career as I did with my in career. You know what I mean? Like, you want to get promoted,
right.
So what do you do to promote you? You have to take some action. You know, it can't be, it's not. I mean, you can pray on something all day long, and believe me, I believe in God, and you can pray on it, right? But you still have to do some work to make it happen because it's not going to just fall into your lap. You have to make effort. So But I would tell you some resources that exist, though. Four Block is a great program. It's a student veteran run program. It's for student veterans. So you have to either be in school, graduated from school, and that's whether it's a four-year degree, a master's degree, or higher level education. But it's a great program for people because it puts you in pretty much an interview every week with some corporation in which they're hosting it. So it's just great to get out there because you learn those skills, the resume writing, the actual interview skills, and you're getting stuff by people that are in corporate America. So it's not just like me who never worked in corporate America trying to tell you how to do something that is based on corporate America standards. I'm not that guy, but I can put you in front of them and they can tell you, hey, don't do that or do this. And that's pretty much where you want to be, right? But that program exists. Right. Veterati is huge. You know, those things didn't exist 10 years ago. You know, these things where you can call and get a mentor to help you guide you through your transition. And whether that be to be an entrepreneur, whether that be a corporate guy, a farmer, whatever you want to do. And the other part is, search your soul, man, and understand, where do you want to be? You know, so many people, I mean, they talk about the three things that veterans typically think about, right, is location, job, and pay, right?
Right.
So if you can look at those three things and say, okay, these are what's important to me. I got to understand how much money I was actually making when I was in. I got to understand how to budget money and do different things, right? But most importantly, figure out where you want to be, figure out what you want to do and, you know, do that soul searching. You should be doing that like from now. Like, I mean, 3 years out is not too far. I mean, for you, you know where you want to be, but you know, if you look to your left and right, yeah, they don't. And it's really, they can say they do, but plan one doesn't always work out. You know, a lot of folks end up going into, you know, different jobs that are within DOD if they can, because they have a clearance or they have a friend or whatever the case may be. So they go take those jobs, and that's fine. It's not a hit on them because it's an income. Some guys think that I'm going to get out of this uniform. I'm going to go down to Google or Starbucks or, you know, open a Chick-fil-A. I'm going to do all this stuff because I served, and that sense of entitlement is disastrous, because it's not, I mean, yeah, people are happy you served and people are thankful that you did, but they're not going to give you a job solely based on that, you know? So you gotta do your homework. You gotta be a little bit diligent and take action on yourself for yourself. And then, you know, figure out what you want to be when you grow up.
Figure out what you want to be when you grow up. Nice. I think that's like everybody's favorite question to ask. Like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And like,
exactly.
35. I think I've just figured it out in the last like year. You know what I mean? Asking an 18 or 19 year old kid what they want to do in life. Maybe.
Yeah.
What do you want to be? Like, where do you like that? They don't have no idea. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I think if you ask better questions, you get better answers. You get better results. You get a bit deeper break.
Wow, imagine that concept right there. That right there is, I mean, what question is going to garner the best answer? I mean, what is going to give me the most content? I mean, you can say, you know, hi. That's not a question. That's a statement. You can say, how are you?
Right.
And people say, good, how are you, right? But if you say, how are you really, you know, if you really get involved with that, or how's your family, you change the dialogue and you get more information, right?
Yep.
But change the answer.
Yep.
Ask good questions. Okay?
Yep. Definitely, man. Yeah. Definitely. So let's talk about where you're headed now, man. You got new adventures, businesses, family. Like, what's the rest of 2018 look like for you?
Man, 2018 looks great. So I got to tell you, you know, people make New Year's resolutions all the time, and I refuse to, because when people start making those New Year's resolutions, it means that they're not going to action them until a certain date, which means that I could be talking in December 3rd about what I'm going to do New Year's Day. That's almost a whole month of inaction, right? So I don't do New Year's resolutions, but what I do is I do map out a course of a year. And where I'm at now is I'm lining up the podcast for great content, for great guests to be on, and just kind of, you know, do a little bit more networking across the states. And, you know, hopefully I'll reach beyond that at some point, but just do some networking within the states and putting some information out there on the business forecast for the Change Your Forecast. That is a little bit different, a little bit more challenging, but again, it's based on a desire to establish an organization that is truly values-based. And I don't want to, I mean, at this point, I don't have to take anything. Like, I've had some offers to do some things with some, I don't want to say shady folks, because I don't want to put them out there like that to say that's what they are.
Sure.
I just don't think that I mesh with their value system, and the ability for me to say no to that, you know, is a good feeling. I mean, I'm not on a couch with ramen noodles and needing to put a paycheck in my bank so my wife and kids can eat and all that good stuff. So the ability to say no is good, because I'm not waiting for the perfect clients, and I'm not waiting for the perfect storm, if you will, but I'm waiting for the people that I want to serve the way I want to serve them. And that's, you know, I'm being patient. So I'll tell you, there's some good things on the horizon. I don't want to jinx some of them. I mean, cause there's a couple that I'm towards the final end. I mean, the very end of signing some contracts, and I'd love to, you know, share that with you at some point here in the near future, hopefully about 2 to 3 weeks. And those things to me, value from a dollar perspective, sure, it'll pay some money, which is fine, but more so because it's the what, you know, that's the, it's where and the who I'm doing it with. It's that, it's all the stuff that isn't the why, you know what I mean? The why is what everybody wants, and the how, but it's the what, the where, and the who that I'm working with that is really exciting for me. So that should be getting finalized here shortly. So 18 is looking great, man. I'm excited. I'm in love with my family. I got a baby girl on the way. So, you know, I don't have too much to be upset about. I mean, everything's going up, you know, so I'm just excited for the ride.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, man. Man, 2018, I thought 2017 was pretty cool. Lots of great stuff. Lots of firsts. 2018, man, came and rocked its socks off, and I was like, man, can it get any better? You know what I mean? Like, you get to that point where, like, I feel like everything is going the way it should.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, man, this is so great, like, what's happening, right? Because in the creation phase, you're like, I'm making any headway, like, this sucks. I don't see any results, you know, and then, like, 2-3 years later, you're like, holy crap, this is amazing, and like, all these connections and doors are opening, and, you know, it's great, you know, but I'll tell you what, I believe that this or next year, 2019, you know, is going to be the best year ever. You know, and I always say that, but I mean, 2018 into 2019, it's just going to be, I think it's going to be a great time just because of the economy and the world that's being created right now. I just think we're in the greatest era in these next 2 years. I think we're in the greatest era. And I don't know what's going to happen in 2020, but yeah, man, it's going to be good times.
I'll tell you what, I gotta be honest with you, man. So I'm really excited for you, right? So you are where I want to be, right? And I'm not there, but I'm not jealous. I'm actually interested, but I'm also not pushing because I know where my limitations at this point are. But I'll tell you, I watched your TEDx. I thought that was absolutely amazing. I thought you did a great job. I loved it. You know, I mean, I watched the video. I think I watched it probably about 4 times, shared it a bunch of times, and told a bunch of people about it. And just so you know, I know you and I have never physically met and shook hands, you know, just via video we've talked, but when I shared it with him, I was like, man, I know this guy, he's famous, you know, but I just think that your message was so genuine and so clear, and you did an outstanding job. So watching that was great. Looking at I know you just flew, I think you were out at Utah, maybe. I mean, it was Utah, right?
Yeah.
That you were just in?
Yeah. I was in Utah.
Yep. For a podcast event. That was that was awesome. Not too long ago, you were doing a speech, a resiliency speech. Where was that at?
That was Chicago, and then before that was Colorado Springs. So I did two back to back.
Yep, I saw the one in Colorado Springs, and I said, man, you're on it. So now you know, right? That I'm studying you, and just seeing how you're doing things. I mean, it's inspirational, man. I mean, truly. I mean, you know, I'm not one to need to look towards others for inspiration. I look towards others for guidance. I look towards others for mentorship. But to inspire me, I don't feel like I need it so much. But when I see you out there doing what you're doing, I am inspired because I know that you're managing a family. I know that you're managing active duty. And I know you're doing a lot of things, but you're still making time to do these things. And you're doing them. Not only are you just doing them, you're doing them great. You're out there and just you're killing it. And I love seeing it. It's inspiring to me, and it makes me want to do more than what I'm already doing. And if I could show you my calendar, you'd be like, yeah, I don't think you have time to fit it in. I just need to fix my calendar. That's all I got to do.
Well, sometimes that's all it takes, man. I mean, people ask all the time, like, how are you so efficient? Like, how do you manage, like, all this dust? And I will tell you right now what the number one rule of success is. The number one rule of my success is to schedule everything.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule everything. If I'm on social media, it's because I'm on social media because my schedule says I need to be on social media. If I'm doing a radio show because, like, check this out. My Wednesdays are slam-packed, right? So I had a phone call at 3:30. I had a phone call at 4. I had a phone call, and that phone call was only supposed to be like 30 minutes, but we ran an hour, but I didn't have anything backed up after that, right? So 5 o'clock, I'm doing all of my show prep stuff. 5:15, you and I are meeting. 5:30, and I blocked that out to 6:30, which is almost 6:30. So I've got that blocked out. I'm going to go downstairs and eat something real quick. I'm going to come back up and do my 7 p.m. mastermind call because I have a mastermind called the Success Corps. Mastermind.
Okay.
So I've got my mastermind dues group coaching program that I do at, you know, up until 7:35. At 7:35, I take a 5-minute break. I decompress, do some meditation, boom. And then, you know, 7:45, you know, I'm hanging out with the family. I'm doing some other things. Tonight at 9 o'clock, I'm being featured on a Spanish radio show or TV show. One of the two. But I know
Spanish?
I'm doing a talk. I don't.
That's cool.
You'll be great. So, I mean, every single thing, dude. So, like, you know, at, like, if, you know, 7:45, what am I doing? Is it family time? Is it, you know, whatever? At 8:30, I say, okay, family time is 8:30 to, like, 10 o'clock, right? Hour and a half, I'm not on social media. I'm not on the computer. I'm not on nothing. Like, we're watching TV. We're playing games with the kids. Like, we're doing something that is the kids, right? 10 o'clock?
Yep.
Might be a movie. 10 o'clock. But literally, my day is scheduled out, like, just like basic training.
Yeah. It's awesome,
and
man.
That
good on you.
That is why I'm so successful and can manage everything that I do. Now, sometimes I fail at it, like, you know, I lose track of time, or if I'm in, like, I have an email coming across, I'm like, okay, got to do this. Set a reminder, and then I miss the reminder because I was doing something else, or I, like, oh crap, I was supposed to apply to this thing. I've lost some talks. I was supposed to email somebody, like, email by this time, or we're gonna have to pick somebody else. I didn't email them. I mailed them like 30 minutes later. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, we picked somebody else. Sorry, I told you this time. I'm like, damn it. So schedule everything. If you audit your time and you audit your energy, you're going to be that much more successful than everybody else who's just winging it. And I literally spend, like, I have an hour here. I have an hour there. I have this time. Like, everything in my life is scheduled. So that if my wife goes, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, okay, I got this. Like, I just can ring off my schedule because I just know my schedule. I know exactly what I have to do that day. And anything else is a distraction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm-mm.
And it detracts from what I'm trying to accomplish.
Man, you're on it, man. I mean, hey, that's if that's now that's content and that's value. What you just gave to me, people pay for it. You know, I'm thankful.
No problem, man. That's what I'm here for. So let's talk about so as we wrap up the show, we always do a shameless plug, right? So you can plug a friend, quote, your websites, Facebook, your products, whatever you want. This is your moment. Shameless plug. Go.
Man, I just tell people I'm all about connecting. So connect with me on LinkedIn. It's on the bottom. So just look up Jeffrey Lodick, LODICK. I'm right now at this moment. I'm looking to just meet people and figure out how I can help or how you can help and move together and have functioning, productive network. Unlike Facebook, Facebook's for friends and family and all that stuff, but LinkedIn is for productive networking. And therefore, I meet people on LinkedIn. I talk to them on the phone or we're not connected. So that's just the way it is. So hit me up on LinkedIn. We'll have a phone conversation and we'll work it from there. But that's all I'm going to use for now. So thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate you greatly, Sean.
Yeah, man. Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. So as we wrap up, we always leave with a call to action. So can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take that action?
You are your limitation. I believe that to be 100% factual. If you feel you can't do something, then you already failed at doing it. So what I would say is start little. Don't go. You can't gain 250 pounds of muscle mass in 3 days at the gym, right? So If taking, you know, you just can't do it. So take little steps. If it's challenging yourself to walk up and shake someone's hand or just introduce yourself because you're an introvert or whatever the case may be, do little things and take those little victories and watch them as they grow, because it's just taking a step in the right direction. You don't have to take it all. It's not about, you know, winning the lottery. It's about, you know, taking a step in the right direction. So that would be it. Just move out there and understand that you have value. You are valued. Just know what your value is, right?
Boom. Great call to action. Know what your value is. Know your self-worth. And you're right, man, about limitations. Absolutely freaking right, man. So thank you, man, for coming on the show. This has been amazing. And you are doing some great work, working with the veterans, working with high school and collegiate athletes. You got the podcast. So if somebody wanted to listen to your show, how would they listen to it? Where can they find it?
iTunes, iHeartRadio, on the other side, Leadership After Transition. It's a beautiful, beautiful, some artwork that I had done from a young man named Drew Sven. He did an awesome job. I would recommend him to anybody, but I don't have his email address to do so. But that's it. On the other side, Leadership After Transition. Find it on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher, Spreaker. Any one of those places, you should be able to find it.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on the show, man. And I know that we will be in touch and, you know, following each other's journey, man.
Without a doubt. Thank you so much. I am truly honored and blessed that you invited me to be on. Thank you so much, Sean.
Absolutely. Life Transformation Radio listeners, another amazing guest, another impactful episode. If anything that Jeffrey Lodick has said to you today, find him on LinkedIn, find him on Facebook, get a hold of him. Find the podcast, subscribe to On the Other Side, Leadership After Transition. If you know a military veteran or somebody who is currently serving, get them in touch with Jeffrey Lodick. If you have a high school or collegiate athlete, get them in touch with this guy. This is the guy to know. And if there's any speaking engagements, send them his way. As we close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you have deep in your heart. I call that living your brand. So until next episode, have a great night.